Welcome back to Real Phonies, where we take a love for movies and television and we combine it with very little knowledge about movies and television. I'm your host, Christian. Joined with me, as always, are my co-host, Joseph.
Yellow.
And Jehu. It's been forever. We're back talking about Furiosa. When did Fury Road come out? 10 years ago? 8 years ago?
I think 2015.
Yeah, 2015 sounds right.
Okay, so we took a not quite as long break as George Miller. But
George Miller made that movie with Idris Elba and Tilda Swinton in the meantime.
Oh, the Genie one?
Yeah.
I didn't watch that.
I didn't watch it. I was super excited about it.
It's fine.
Well, okay. I retract my statement. George Miller did do something that you also didn't see because nobody saw Furiosa either. It's a prequel. It just tells you how she ends up in... God, see, we should not have done this a week later. Who's the fucking white dude? Joe.
Immortan Joe.
How she ends up in the captivity of Immortan Joe. And it takes place over, you know, quite a few years, like 20 plus years in this movie. But Anya Taylor-Joy stars in the lead role. And then there's really nobody else you know.
Chris Hemsworth. But yes, otherwise.
That's it.
Right.
Other Australian.
Right. Like all Mad Max movies, you know, a person or two you know, and then a bunch of Australians that George Miller thought looked cool.
Yep. What do we think of this movie, y'all?
I don't know. I feel like I have more granular opinions, but the way I've been summing up to people since I've told them that I saw it, and they're like, oh, yeah, I've been meaning to see that and didn't. It's like, obviously, based on the box office,
right.
Is that, like, Christian and I went to go see this together. We were the only two people in the theater.
Right.
And, like, two or three times, one of us would turn to the other one and be like, this just makes me want to watch Fury Road. Right. And that's kind of my whole feeling on this movie.
Yeah, I'll follow that. That's exactly how I feel. It's not that this movie is bad.
Yeah,
and it's not even that I don't even know that it's worse than Fury Road. But anytime it did something cool, I was like, there's something that's like 12% cooler than that in Fury Road. And I would just rather be watching that movie right now.
I will stake my claim that it is worse than Fury Road. It's not bad, but it's definitely worse than
Fury Road. Yeah, I mean, it is worse than Fury Road. I agree with that too. But
I mean, my thoughts were basically, it sure does suck trying to follow up one of the best movies.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think this movie is great. It's just pales in comparison to Fury Road, which was the best movie of the previous decade. It's very long, you know, and it covers more ground than any Mad Max movie.
Yeah, it establishes a lore and a world,
which is almost the antithesis of Mad Max movies.
Yeah, we talked about this,
you know, but I liked it. I thought it was fun. Chris Hemsworth is having a great time chewing up some scenery in this. He's having a blast. But yeah, it is hard to talk about it without talking about how, you know, anything was going to let you down after Fury Road.
Yeah, I think the best way I could describe that sensation, right, of like, oh, this being cool, but not Fury Road cool, is like there is a really great action set piece with like a giant tanker and like paragliders and things on motorcycles. It's an awesome fucking scene. But in Fury Road, there's that same scene. But there's also a dude playing metal on a guitar with fire shooting out in the background, and that makes it way cool.
Right.
I mean, I was going to say, Fury Road also has that scene, but it's the whole movie.
Right.
That nonstop.
Right.
I just really like the guy playing metal all the time. And and no one does the Immortan Joe loyalist better than Nicholas Holt. He's so fucking good in that movie that anytime someone talks in this, I'm just comparing it to that.
Right.
And, the whole, like, he looked at me bit is just, he plays it so well, and no one comes close to that in this. Also, no dialogue. There's no speaking.
I forget what it was. They said Anya Taylor-Joy has, like,
40 lines.
Yeah, 34 or 40-some lines of dialogue.
It is weird, though, right, that, like, she's now been in two movies this year that take place in the desert, and she's not really in more than, like, 20 minutes of either of them.
What's the other one?
Dude.
Oh, yeah, no, fair point. Well, she's not even in like a minute of Dune.
She's not even like a minute of Dune. She's in very little. But I was shocked at how little she was in this movie.
Right.
I thought she was going to be there much earlier. At least half.
Again, Christian and I were in a theater by ourselves. So at some point, a while into it, I was like, I think we've been here for like an hour and we haven't even seen Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah.
When she did show up, it was like, oh, shit, I had already gotten used to the idea of her not being here.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
This movie's better than Transformers.
And no, it's absolutely.
Oh, totally.
It's 100%. Better than Transformers. I'm going to continue to shit on it. It is better than Transformers.
That's the whole point of this podcast. Of us being like, you know, it's pretty good, but I fucking hated it.
It's just, I mean, so apparently from what, spoilers from here on out,
yeah.
But, you know, to kind of what you're talking about, Hurt, as far as like fleshing out, apparently the whole reason for this movie is because when they were making Fury Road, George Miller had come up with such an elaborate backstory to Furiosa and her relationship with Immortan Joe and all that stuff. He's like, damn, this would make a good movie.
Right.
How are you? No, it was fine. That is. I
actually think it makes it more confusing.
Well, I don't know if confusing is the right term, but I like that in Fury Road, like there is an implied relationship. There is an implied something that's happening between, you know, like Furiosa's got her own motivations. She's got her own something with Immortan Joe where he obviously trusts her a lot, but she's right. trying to get away from, like, there's like a lot going on. But we don't really know why, but that makes, to me, that makes the world feel richer because, you right. know, I mean, Furious, I guess, is the kind of the co-lead of that movie with Mad Max.
Right. Oh, I think she's the
I
lead.
Guess she is the lead. Yeah. That's actually fair. But, like, I don't know, that makes me feel like this world is, like, bigger than we're seeing, and that's exciting.
Right.
And then watching that fleshed out is like, oh, this is actually less exciting than I kind of imagined it was going to be.
Right.
Yeah. The reason why I say it's confusing is I felt like I didn't get enough of why Furiosa cares about the brides.
Yeah.
That was kind of like, there's right. very little interaction
I mean,
between
I
her
guess
because
she was supposed to be one of them.
But it's very brief.
Yeah.
Like, I just think there's probably 10 minutes somewhere else we could have taken and established a little bit more of a relationship
yeah.
between her and them.
Right.
In that scene. And don't get me wrong, the sex slaves of these mutant dudes, I get it. That's probably enough of a motivation.
Right,
but
right.
I just would have liked to have seen a little more character development there. But to the other thing you're saying, which we talked about in the theater, is the kind of problem with it is that so much of Mad Max mythos is just the fact that it is mythos.
Right.
That
right.
it is a myth.
Right.
You know, it doesn't make sense chronologically.
Right.
You know, like in the first movie, he has like a wife and kid and they live on a beach and he remembers the world before. And then by two, none of that fucking happened. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's just legend.
Right.
But for us to like really dig deeper into the lore and world and establish a timeline, I think kind of undercuts that myth legend. Almost James Bondy. You could just keep telling Mad
right.
Max
right,
fucking
exactly.
stories,
right.
and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, there is definitely some stuff like, you know, like there was that fan theory from the last one that the Mad Max in that movie
yeah.
was actually the feral kid from number two. If you really want this to all make sense,
it kind of has to.
It kind of has to be
yeah.
because him for Max and her to be the same age ish,
yeah.
it would almost have to be the feral kid.
Yeah. And the Max Easter egg in this is stupid.
Stupid.
It's, I mean, it's 100% the studio said, you're going to have to do that.
Yeah.
I can't see it otherwise.
I.
And then there was also Billy Ray Cyrus Max.
Okay, yeah. What do we think of that guy, that character?
I mean, that's interesting. I do feel like Billy Ray Cyrus is a good clock. I said less handsome Hugh Grant. it's definitely
yeah.
like in that range.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I liked it. I definitely was surprised he never betrayed her.
Yeah.
I was sure we were, particularly when she finally told him everything about where they're going, what they're doing. It's like, oh, this dude's going to betray you. And when he didn't, I liked that he didn't, but it seemed like it should have for her to be so mistrusting when we meet her later.
Yeah. It is pretty funny that, like, you know, at that point, seemingly, I don't know if he's the second in command, but some high ranking guy in this post-apocalyptic hellscape. It's just like a normal, nice guy. You know,
yeah.
everybody else around him is like in white paint and spraying chrome
he's
in their mouth.
He's a genuinely kind of normal dude.
Kind of a normal dude. Puts on a little makeup and stuff.
He can fucking drive. That's
yeah.
his skill. That dude was a UPS driver before he fucking into the world. Yeah, I did. It was, it just kind of was jarring to me because it was like, so hard that to me that George Miller was like, well, I can't have it be Max.
Exactly.
Right.
So I'm just going to make it Max.
Right. Right.
But I'm going to change the name. And that was just, again, kind of jarring. And
right.
like he wanted it to be Fury Road again. Like,
yeah.
Me watching it wanted it to be Fury Road.
Everybody wanted it to
and
be
it kind of felt like George Miller wanted right. it to be Fury Road again, too. Because it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I do like that he tried something different with this one.
I
do
too.
Like that it was a bigger, more epic, expansive story. You know, the only other time he had really ever tried to, you know, do like a real origin story was the first Mad Max. And that, although it's a fun movie to watch, it's also a fucking mess, you know? So this was definitely more coherent than that. Yeah, I don't know. Another thing that really sort of the lore about on this side of the screen of Fury Road was, oh, it's all practical effects. And it wasn't, you know, we know now that it was mostly like real stunts and real sits and stuff that they padded with CGI. This one, just being so obviously CGI for so much of it, seems like it was just asking to get pissed on.
Yeah,
you know,
it's crazy to me because I don't know how he did Fury Road. Like, right. I don't know how he got, I don't know if it was expensive and I don't know how he got the budget for it, if that's the case, or if it wasn't expensive. I don't know how the fuck he did it on whatever budget he had.
Right.
But like, it didn't make sense for that one to be as cool as it was. But after the success, and especially like, I think we're overestimating how much money that Mad Max Fury Road made in the box office. Right. It was like hugely acclaimed. It is remembered as like the best of the decade. Mm-hmm. For him to, what I have to imagine, have at least double the budget of that movie, and for it to look this much worse is amazing. To your point, though, I do think that, because I thought a lot of the stuff was just like bad CGI at first, but then I realized midway through the movie or somewhere in the movie, he does this little trick a lot. And I don't remember seeing it in Fury Road where I think it's normal film. Like he's taken a real practical shot and then sped it up like 1.5.
Right.
And I think it's to make some things look cooler and faster, but it's really jarring. And to me, that looks like it looks worse like CGI than maybe actual CGI.
Yeah. But there is the point too, like, very early in the movie where there's a woman just gets on a horse and it's fully CGI. And you're like, well, couldn't you just hire somebody to get on a horse?
Right. That's an easy thing to have, is just a lady on a horse. And I'm not even go as far as say the CGI is bad. It's fine. It's just very obviously CGI.
Yeah. And again, we're not ones, I don't think anyway, the three of us, I feel like, are all fairly chill. Again, you know, whatever. CGI is what it is. But it is hard. Again, it's a shitty part of following the greatest movie of the decade, probably, is you don't notice it in Fury Road.
Right.
The problem here is that you do.
Right.
That's the difference.
I mean, that's why so many people bought into there was no CGI in Fury Road, is because it looks fucking great. Yeah. It doesn't look like a phony thing.
Yeah. What about the color shading? Did that throw you guys off at all? Because I feel like it was more extreme in this movie than it was, for example, in Fury Road. It's very color shaded.
Yeah.
It didn't bother me.
Yeah, it didn't bother me. But I can see what you're saying. It's real orange.
I'll be interested to see what it looks like at home.
Right.
Put on the Vivid setting on your TV.
There you go. So how do we feel about Chris Hemsworth in this?
I fucking loved it. At first, when it started, I was like, oh, this is just Negan.
That character. Man.
But I really started to enjoy it when we realized he wasn't capable at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's just charming.
He just likes to be in charge.
He's just a charming psychopath who likes to be in charge.
He doesn't want to do anything with it. He just likes to be in charge.
I mean, he doesn't even have the ability to do anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's a fucking moron. I mean, in his first real meeting with Immortan Joe realizes, oh, you need that guy and that guy, so I want that guy and that guy. And he's just like, okay, you know?
I think that he's having a great time, and therefore I have a great time.
Right.
So I can't tell. I can't decide if I'm just like, my brain is spoiled by, you know, the Thor, the Marvel movies, and also just the millions of hours of, like, press junkets I've seen Chris Hemsworth in. But I just can't not just see Chris Hemsworth just, like, being a goofball.
Yeah.
You know, like, at no point do I see Dementis as a character. It's just like,
hey,
Chris Hemsworth being like, this is an Australian caricature.
Yeah.
This will be fun for everybody.
And I think that's the fun part to it, right? Yeah. It's like this guy who's kind of the leading Australian actor right now in Hollywood playing, obviously, a caricature of everything Australia, but my where it falls apart kind of is like, at no point am I ever terrified of them.
Right, right.
I think the scene that really breaks it for me is, and I think he knows he's incompetent.
Right.
Is when they go to Gastown.
Right.
And he helps them get out.
Right.
Like that, at that point, I'm like, oh, well, why should I fear you? Like, you have all the power in this moment. You have all the control.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're like, let me help you get out of here. Right. And you're like, but why? Well, why can't they be badasses and figure it out themselves? Because you're undercutting yourself as the, I guess, villain of this movie.
Yeah.
But he doesn't feel very villain.
I mean, really, Furiosa is pretty capable. Probably the dumbest mistake she makes is when she speaks up in the meeting with Immortan Joe.
Yeah.
Because she would have had a way easier time taking out Chris Hemsworth than she did taking out Immortan Joe.
Yeah.
You know, this movie would have been probably like 45 minutes shorter if she just stayed with Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I talk shit about the lore town taking away the mythos. Having said that, fucking Gas Town and Bullet Town are cool.
Yeah.
I like the scenes where we're at those places.
Mm.
I just hate kind of what it does for.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I think the centerpieces are the road assault, which very much feels like it's just a deleted scene from Fury Road.
Yeah, but it's a cool fucking
scene. It's fucking cool as shit. It's the best one. But yeah, also the ambush at Bullet Town I feel like the two highlights.
Right.
There are other action scenes, but I don't think any of them really captured the same kind of like big scale.
I guess one thing with how cool all those looked and stuff like that, it made me think, man, I'd love to play this video game.
Yeah,
it has cool levels, objectives, stuff like that. It feels like a video game.
I think there is a Fury Road video game.
There's definitely a Mad Max.
I think there's one that's like a bridge to Fury Road or something.
Yeah. I don't have much else.
I don't have a lot else.
This movie is good.
Yeah. This movie is good. Why do you think, though? Because it really, in opening weekend, it didn't make that much less than Fury Road did in its opening weekend.
The drop was significant.
Like, Mad Max movies have never been huge hits, except for maybe Thunderdome, you know? Yeah. Why do you think they bet Memorial Day weekend on
it? That's pretty wild.
You know, I don't know why they did that.
Worst Memorial Day in 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to peg what the box office is doing right now, because it's like, oh, it's all down. But then fucking Inside Out 2 comes out and makes $250 million this past weekend. I don't know why this movie, because everyone fucking loves Fury Road.
I mean, the thing is with Fury Road, though, it really found its audience late.
Yeah,
definitely
powered by word of mouth. But you'd think that same word of mouth would have put people in these seats.
And it was in a summer like full of hits.
Yeah.
Whereas this, they were like, okay, we're betting the summer on this. And I don't think it's this movie's fault that this movie didn't put out on Memorial.
What's hard for me to understand about it is, I think the big difference is, of course, streaming between Fury Road and now is that I just can wait 2 months and it'll be on streaming. But the whole draw of Fury Road, and you would imagine the draw of Furiosa, is seeing it on the biggest, loudest screen possible.
Right, yeah.
You can't replicate that
anymore. Right. And this, all the complaints we've made about this is a movie that needs to be seen on the big screen. It's a big screen movie.
Yeah, there will not be another one.
No.
I don't know. I kind of think George Miller might be ornery enough to just make like a rogue, like low budget one more.
Maybe. Tom Hardy was asked just like today or yesterday if Wasteland was still going to get made. And his response was, I don't think that's happening now. So
that sucks.
Not an encouraging update.
Right.
But yeah, whatever.
Anything else on Furiosa?
No.
I think
Anya Taylor-Joy is good in it.
Yeah.
She's good at it. She's fine.
Not much is asked of her.
Right. Yeah. She has to say like 40 lines. Yeah. You know?
Gotta make that claw hand feel believable.
Yeah. Which, to be fair, it does look really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I think universally better than Transformers, but you know, you probably didn't see it.
I mean, you should watch it when it's on streaming, but you're going to get like 60% of what you should get out of it.
Right.
Yeah. But maybe you'll make the CGI look less obvious.
That could be. Yeah.
Well, that's it for Furiosa. What have we been watching? Whatever the fuck you want to talk about.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to cover all the shit I've watched. I will cover a couple of books I read in the time we've been off. fucking dork. I read Contact by Carl Sagan. I have watched that movie so many fucking times.
Boy, we should fucking do that movie.
I would love to do that movie. Sarah's super into Trixie and Katya. We actually, when you guys know them, right? And they have a running gag about contact that I've like went down the rabbit hole to try to figure out where the contact joke starts. And I don't even think they know where they started. So just for that reason, I'd love to do contact, but go ahead.
Guys, the movie's better than the book. this book kind of sucks. My problem with contact, and listen, maybe it's because the movie happened, I don't know, it just hit me at an age when I, you know, asking these like philosophy versus religion versus science questions, right. I was really up my own butt, and that was interesting. But when I read Carl Sagan doing it, I'm like, dude, we've been asking these questions for 30 fucking years, dude. Like, this isn't, you're not saying anything new.
Right.
Maybe it was new when he asked it.
Right.
But at the now, me at 35 reading it, I'm like, oh, fuck it, dude. Like, if I was 15 and reading this, I'd be in deep.
I don't think it could be new when he said it, because I'm sure he had already asked it before in other books.
And I do think the way they streamline a lot of characters into Matthew McConaughey.
Right.
And that's a way better decision.
Right.
Maybe it's just because Matthew McConaughey is just so damn charming. None of these characters are overly likable, but you also don't spend a ton of time with them. Like, the thing Carl Sagan wanted to talk about was like, this is what I think could happen if we met aliens, number one. And number two, this is fucking science versus religion. And then the characters are just there to drive those two things along. Yeah. There's no character growth or whatever. Like, and there's no really working to establish those characters and make you care for them. It's fine. Watch the fucking movie. It's better.
I will.
Yeah.
Now that you mention it.
So, yeah, that's number one. I want to say, I'm glad I read it.
Right.
I'm glad that I gave it the old college try and I gave it a shot. The second thing I read, Children of Dune. actually, I read that one first, but I wanted to save it.
Right.
This might be the last Dune book I read because it's also not very good.
Right.
You have been enjoying a lot of your reading.
No, I haven't. It was kind of work to get through both of them. Like, right. I got to a point in each where I was like, well, I'm so far in now, like, I can cruise to the end. I care enough, but it was kind of hard to get over those humps. Children of Dune is just, it's just not interesting to me. Like, it's not saying anything. It's just, here's the continued story of the Atreides. And that's not interesting enough to me. It's not telling me anything new, interesting, or bold, or trying to talk about the Messiah fixation or anything like that. It's just, here's what happens to Paul's kids. And, I guess you could say it's kind of shocking, like, who the villain of that story is, but it's really not, because it's a very similar thing to Paul. And, yeah, I don't know. I just, the big twist is the kid becomes a worm, but I already knew that, so fucking whatever.
Right.
Having said that, I also found the sci-fi miniseries on YouTube.
Oh, boy.
And I watched that as well. And that was a better time. I enjoyed that shitty 2001 sci-fi CGI much better than the book. The first two episodes are Dune Messiah, and then the last four episodes are Children of Dune. Very famously, James McAvoy plays Leto, and Susan Sarandon plays the secret daughter that's not a Rulon's sister that you don't know about at all until Children of Dune starts. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. It's a good time. And those are very, very literal adaptations. They take like lines straight out of the book. They're very, very true. But they only take 6 hours of your time rather than like the 15 or 20 hours it's going to take to read those two books. So,
right.
I'm going to say Children of Dune, worse than Transformers.
Damn.
I'm not rushing to read it again.
What about the Dune miniseries?
Oh, that's worse than Transformers too, but I have more fun with it. It is definitely on all accounts worse.
Yeah.
But listen, it's on YouTube for free, so
right.
Check it out. That's it.
Oh, man, what all have I done? Well, first of all, since it's on topic with their thing, I know we don't talk about this very much since we've stolen our whole shtick from it, but I can't even think of it. What's the
Weekly
name of the
Planet.
Weekly Planet.
I feel like we've diverged enough at this point that we can talk about
it. I also think they've diverged.
That's what I mean between the two.
They They did four episodes on each of the previous Mad Max movies, and they're just a fucking hoot.
Yeah.
And part of it, I think, that I like is a little bit of, I've always said about the first Mad Max movie that it doesn't really feel post-apocalyptic. It easily could just be like Milton in the 80s.
Yeah.
And they agree with that with Australian references. Mm. And that's just super fun. It's basically just fun listening to those guys have a good time, make Australian references that I don't understand.
Yeah.
I said to Christian when we watched the movie, I was like, I feel like all these movies are kind of like anti-Australia tourism ads. Because they're all shot there. And this is like, this is 70% of our country.
It doesn't make it feel like that country is just a big desert with one two-lane road right down the center of it. What else have I done while we've been gone? I watched the Roadhouse remake.
Oh yeah, I've been meaning to check it out.
The thing is, I was real hard on that trailer, and I regret it now because it's a fucking hoot. Mm-hmm. The thing I didn't like about the trailer is that it showed giving the main character a backstory, and I didn't really think that fit with Roadhouse. But in the context of the movie, it works because it explains why, when he finally goes on a rampage, his rampage is so bad. But it's a fucking hoot. I love it. I can't stand Conor McGregor as a human being, so watching him get the shit beat out of him is super fun, even if it's fake. Definitely better than Transformers. Jake Gyllenhaal is having a great time. There are things about it that annoy me. There's like some really annoying meta commentary where there's a little girl who is explaining to Jake Gyllenhaal that the story he's in is a Western, and it's just jerk off motion. Fuck off with that shit. But again, there's some fun fights. James Gyllenhaal is pretty weird and charming in it, like he always is. And the rampage is great.
Yeah, it's got great reviews, and I think it did well enough they're going to do a second one.
It definitely has a Marvel-style after credits theme, so I hope they do, because I had a good time with it. Had to have a wisdom tooth taken out while we were on.
You just had one? They didn't take them all out?
Well, the thing is, I made the decision many years ago when it's time to take out your wisdom teeth that I was going to keep them in case I needed that wisdom.
Sure.
Mm. What if I needed it to best my enemies?
Yep.
A few years ago, I cracked one of them, went to have it taken out. And besides the dude trying to take out the wrong tooth first, once he actually got to the right tooth, it was super easy. It was like over before I even knew about it. So this time the guy was like, hey, you're going to want to go under for this. And I was like, I don't think so. This is not my first rodeo. I definitely should have went under. It was a fucking struggle. They had to like cut it into four fucking pieces. Mm-hmm. There was just like three or four people jerking my head around and stuff. I felt like I had gotten my ass beat after that was over. And I'm still not fully recovered from it. Right now, I've got this little bone chip grazing against my tongue that's making it difficult to talk as we speak right now. Wisdom teeth, worse than Transformers. Fuck that shit. Oral surgery, worse than Transformers. Do not enjoy it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I already told you this, Christian, before we went on. But I went and saw Idols, which is our band of the moment, and it was a fucking hoot. Me and Sarah had a pretty bad couple of weeks, and it was just a joyous occasion that got us back on the road to feeling like humans again. So,
saw them in Orlando?
Saw them in Orlando.
Did you go to Harry Potter World?
Of course
we did.
although, you know, I'm always, you know, like a pretty big wuss about rides, but I had like one of the rides I can usually tolerate is the Jurassic Park ride. Like, this is one drop, whatever. But I fucking had like a panic attack on it or something. I don't know what was going on with me, but I was like seeing spots and shit. It was crazy. So I'm glad you asked me about that, because that is the other thing I wanted to cover. So since I was being such a pussy, we had to find some things to do that weren't the usual things. And we went to see the Universal Monsters horror makeup show.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys ever checked that out?
No.
We've been there. If it's there and when you're ever there, check it out. It's a fucking hoot. It's just these two dudes talking about, you know, they've got a whole stand-up comedy routine that they do. One of them's the usher, one of them's the expert. Riffing on, you know, how horror effects works and stuff like that. It's obviously for kids, but it's also really horny for some reason. There's a lot of jokes that just the adults are going to get, but I don't think these guys are quite as clever with those jokes as they think they are. But we had a blast watching it. It was a really good time. I feel like it's one of those things that probably a lot of people don't see when they're there, and I say check it out. Better than Transformers.
There you go.
That's all I got.
Fair enough. I feel like you're speaking to one of my anxieties, Hurt, because in my mind, I like theme parks. I like going on rides. I like roller coasters. My wife does not.
It's the reason we never go.
It's the reason we don't go.
No.
The last time that I went, I was probably 17, 18 years old. And I still think that, like, oh, yeah, going on a roller coaster sounds like a blast. But also my 30-year-old body hurts all the time doing anything.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Sometimes I just like stand up weird and my ankle hurts.
Right, right.
And so now I'm worried my time is past and I may never be able to be riding roller coasters again, but we'll see.
I think also one of the reasons I freaked out so hard is, you know, the long line.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't like the long line. I need the long line. I've got to psych myself up.
You walked right on this time.
I've got to convince myself I'm not important enough to die. I'm never going to make it on the news. But yeah, we just walked right in and I was not ready and I fucking flipped out.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool. You know, done a ton of things. Played some video games. Played an old school pixel art RPG called, it's an old school style. It's
right.
A new game called Sea of Stars. Mm. Turn-based RPG. Really fun. Way better than Transformers. I don't know. It was my main thing I did for like 2 weeks.
Right.
I watched a ton of movies that I probably won't talk about because a lot of ones are ones I've seen before. Mm. But going back through, we watched Social Network. We watched L.A. Confidential, which I hadn't seen before.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about that if you want.
Oh, I would love to. That's one of my favorite movies ever.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it. my realization is it really bums me out that some of these, for other reasons, I'm sure, on a moral scale, but that some of these Hollywood people are just huge, disgusting, pervert people. Because, like, Armie Hammer's really fun in The Social Network.
Right.
Kevin Spacey's really fun in L.A. Confidential.
He's so goddamn charming in that movie.
And it's just like, come on, guys, just don't be a fucking pervert. Right. It's not that hard.
Exactly. Or just be a consensual pervert. Find someone to be a pervert with
you. Yeah, anyway. What do you have about L.A. Confidential?
I just love that movie. It's one of my favorites. Here's what I want to ask you, because you've saw it much later in life than I do.
For sure.
And you've seen it after this became that every movie almost has to have a twist.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw that movie for the first time, the twist, the Rollo Tomasi twist,
yeah,
blew my fucking mind. Did it trick you, or did you see it coming?
No, it's really obvious. Movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, I saw that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the same year fucking Titanic came out. Yeah, it was a different landscape, but yeah. No, that's one of my favorite movies ever. Guy Pearce is good in it. It's maybe the best Russell Crowe ever was. It's
it is funny to me that like two of the best Russell Crowe movies are like noir movies set in LA.
Right.
That and The Nice Guy. They both have Kim Basinger. Right.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking about with Contact how they, you know, sort of amalgamed a bunch of characters. And this was the same way from that book. Like the Dudley in this book, I mean, Dudley is in the book, but he's also about five other characters in this, which just ends up making him even more. It's a movie that I think is better than the book, and the book is really good.
That is a rare thing.
Yeah. It's happened twice now on this podcast.
I know we always talk about doing an episode on it, but I don't know if we'd have enough things to make it an episode.
Well, now we've got two.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I like Confidential. Better than Trans was fun time. And then, you know, I can't not talk about any anime. We've almost missed a whole season in the time that we haven't recorded.
Oh, shit. I said by the time we do this.
You did, you piece of shit.
And I did it.
I watched it.
Oh, okay.
We've talked about it already. I didn't know you finished it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Whatever. It's worth your time. It's very fantasy. And when it's really slow and quiet, those are the best moments.
Best part. I'm so glad you're with me on that. My wife just likes the fights. Yeah, Frieren's great. It's Shonen City out there right now. I don't know why they lined up this way, but My Hero's back, Demon Slayer's back, and they introduced a new one, Kaiju Number 8. It is a huge bummer how much My Hero has fallen off, because like I'm 5.5 seasons in. I'm gonna fucking finish it. You know what I mean?
One more, right?
I think so. I think that's the plan. But it is tough to get through. You know, a lot of this genre is built on whoever wins the fight is the person who has the most heart, who cares the most, right. who's trying the hardest.
Right.
And like when it's done right, it's really energizing as right. a viewer. When it's done wrong, it's just the most fucking cringy thing on earth.
Right. You hurt your head, rolling your eyes.
Absolutely. So far. And that's all we're doing in My right. Hero these days. But the new ones, the new one that just started first season right now is Kaiju number 8. And it's great. It's the same as every other fucking thing that's like it, but it's still good. You know, you don't say, right. I don't want pizza because I've had it before. So, right. yeah, right. it's delicious.
Right.
It's a great version of that thing. It is the most like blatant Western marketing I've ever fucking seen out of a thing. It has two English language, one opener and ending song, one of them from One Republic, and they were both commissioned for this fucking show. They're not like songs that they bought right. the rights for. They like right. paid somebody to write these fucking songs to be like, hey.
If you're going
to
pay anyone money, why would you pay One Republic?
Right.
Look, I don't want to be shitty about it, but both the songs are pretty much bops. So Kaiju number 8, better than Transformers. Kaiju number 8, opener and closer, better than Transformers.
Cool.
Yeah.
I watched 2 Glenn Powell movies. Anyone but you, like Joseph said, two hot people fucking it. Right. And that's all you really need. It's all you need. And they're very hot people.
Yes. Right.
And their sex scene is very hot. I mean, it accomplishes the goals. And then I watched Hitman. Have you watched it? Because I feel like you would like it.
I know it's right. Richard Linklater,
it's
right?
Richard Linklater.
I need to watch it just because it's so crazy that he's doing an action movie.
Yeah, well, I can get... Glenn Powell almost has like a Tom Cruise vibe to him in right. that movie. And
if Tom Cruise got hit by one of the mushrooms in Mario.
That's true. I feel like that was kind of the draw, is like, oh, this guy is a movie star.
Right.
Having said that, and the reason why I bring it up is Glenn Powell was an executive producer on it, and having just watched Anyone But You, that guy's just writing movies for him to fuck hot chicks. And
living the dream.
Listen,
man.
He got it figured out. Yeah. I'm not even mad at him about it
right.
because that's the whole plot of that movie. He's a super dorky dude who, on the side, pretends to be a hitman, and it gets him laid a lot. And fuck it, listen, Glenn Powell, respect, dude.
I mean, that sounds like such a '90s premise. I already love it.
Yeah, I don't. I think the movie is not nearly as good as people make it out.
Right.
It's better than Transformers, but it's one shtick and it just does that shtick over and over right. and over and over again. And even you know how it's going to fall apart, it's still enjoyable to watch because Glenn Powell he really is a blast on screen.
Right on.
But yeah, that's it.
Can't wait for fucking Twisters.
Yeah, it's going to be so good, dude. You got to ride your fears.
But I think that's it. Thank you guys for being patient with us. We're back. Kind of. We need to figure out how we're going to do scheduling from now on. Yeah. But, you know, it'll be
new challenges.
Yeah. But thank you, everybody, for listening. Please, actually, did we get any emails? I don't think we did.
A whole time off. Not a single
time email. Off. Nobody said we miss you.
Yeah.
Nobody said come back. Nobody said, what if you did an episode on X? So you know what? Write us, please.
Write us. Make us feel noticed.
Yeah. But yeah, if you want to get in touch with us, you can reach out realphonies@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter at realphonies and on Instagram @real_phonies. Thanks to Zach Evans for art and Brian Velasquez for our theme. We'll see you guys later.
Don't follow us on Twitter. It's Twitter's dead.